Amen.
Amen.
The Lord's good, amen?
He is good. He is so good.
All the time.
Praise
so
God.
I was thinking about something that I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
In our daily Acts reading, sometimes I read it. You know, sometimes it's the translation that you read that may say this or may say that. And I couldn't remember if it was chapter 20 or 21, or was it 22? I think it was 20. But it was interesting because it said that Paul, before he set sail, he went to Jerusalem, and the prophet with the four daughters, they prophesied over him, right? Said, the one who goes to Jerusalem will be bound like this.
Yes, yes.
But what was interesting to me was that it says they accompanied him to the docks.
Yeah.
To the place where he was going to board the ship. And I think it's New NIV. But it says this is that they, well, it's in Acts 20, but the NIV just says it a little bit different. It says that, verse 36, and when he had spoken this, he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. He kneeled down and he prayed with them all, and they all cried, and they kissed him, they sent him off, and for the words which he spoke, which they were pretty sure they were going to see his face no more, and they accompanied him onto the ship. Well, in the NIV, I believe it was the NIV I was listening to, it said that the women were there, the children were there, everybody was there, and this is really important because Paul, when he's leaving, the whole fellowship of believers was there. Meaning, everybody was important. Everybody was valued. Everybody recognized each other as a part of the family. You know, it's kind of strange if you get up and you leave and nobody sees you out to the door. You had a family reunion and they just keep watching TV, you'd be like, hey, I'm leaving. And you're like, good, we'll see you later. You're like, you think like, I think something's missing. But it was interesting because it said that they were all there. They went to see him off. He prayed for them. You know, they probably gave him some stuff.
Yeah.
They blessed him. He prayed for them. And in one sense, these guys are partnering with him in his journey, in his preaching of the gospel. But every believer here had a big part.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of this, you know, sometimes you just think about something and you think, well, this is deeper than what I just initially thought. I don't know if you think that way, but sometimes I think that way. And here's what I was thinking, you know, Jesus, he wanted to do so much for the people, but the people didn't recognize who he was.
Yeah.
Because he seemed just like the normal guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Real simple, humble, just didn't stand out in the crowd. Yet he was there, yet they didn't recognize him for who he was. And the reason I was thinking about this was sometimes, I mean, I just hear that when people tell me their stories or their testimonies, like in this church, they'll say, God did this for me, or God's increasing me, or I gave more this year, or the Lord healed me. They experienced miracles and all kinds of things. And yet if you would just to look at something on their face value, you may minimize or make small because you think it's average or simple. Yet it's the very place which seems so simple, which brings you significance or brings you blessing or brings you the miracle that you need.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you recognize
yeah.
that it's the Lord using people of you to help meet your needs.
Amen.
And at the same, like the common people, the really simple guy like me. Say, I'm a really simple guy. You think, and somebody told me this, it didn't make me feel bad. I kind of, well, maybe a little, but they said, I was talking to him about something. He said, well, so-and-so's really good. You should listen to him. I thought, okay, I'm not really good. All right, great. But
that's not true.
I thought, thought to myself, but does so-and-so love you as much as I do?
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Maybe so-and-so is better, but does he love you as much as I love you?
Yeah.
And so I thought to myself, if at that time I was thinking, if they knew how much I cared about them,
yes,
and I could believe God and pray with them and get answers, then they could get needs met in their life.
Amen.
Even though they look at something and go, that's just real simple.
Yeah.
Something real simple.
Yeah.
Right? And in the same tone, I don't want to look at you in a small way.
That's right.
Just like Paul didn't look at those who visited him in a small way.
That's right.
Because we're in this, what? Together.
Amen.
And if you realize, hey, I don't have insignificant people around me.
That's right.
You know, sometimes people want to buddy up with the guy they think is the big shot. Right? And if I could just meet him, then my problem would be solved. Maybe it would just be beginning. Right? You don't know. But looking at who you can be connected with the people the Lord's already connected you to.
Yes.
Because, you know, you hear all that, oh, if Jesus was here, I would have pressed through the crowd. I would have gotten my answer. And yet, he's surrounded by people, but people didn't recognize where they were or the time when the Lord was visiting them.
Yeah.
Just because it's simple doesn't mean it's not spiritual.
Yeah.
Or just because it's spectacular doesn't mean it is spiritual. So just because something's simple, don't overlook it like, oh, it's no big deal. Because it could be a huge deal. It could be, you know, I was thinking, and it's going to be what we're talking about today, and I'm getting to a point as to why we're talking about this, is the title is Don't Forget to Forget. Mm. Don't forget to forget. And so I call this, when we need to, the Bible encourages us to forget some things. And one of the things that I've noticed, so we've been talking about change, and we looked at the children of Israel, right? One of the things they should have done is to forget what it was like in Egypt. Mm-hmm. They should have put that behind them. Because, you know, when you're going somewhere new, or you leave somewhere old and you go somewhere new, you have the tendency to think that the old that you're leaving was like heaven. Even though, if you were to be honest, and you remember everything about it, it wasn't so great. So you have to forget the, quote, the past. And in forgetting the past, it allows you to focus on the future. But more importantly, it creates like this little ripple effect. And when you know what a ripple effect is, if something gets dropped and these waves go out, and it changes things around it. For example, I came up with an idea. I said, if you want to change something in your life, you have to, quote, what? Start small. If you saved a little money every week, like $5, just $5 a week. Now, we might think, what? That's nothing. That's $5. Why should I save $5? It's not going to make a big deal. It could make a very big deal, right? Here's why. Here's a couple things. Then you will always have some cash for some small things that you don't want to use your credit card for. That's number one. Two, you can be a bigger blessing to others in a small way. Like, you know, if somebody didn't have, you're going through the grocery store and the kid wanted money, his mom said, no, we don't have enough money for that candy bar. And you had a dollar on you, you could say, hey, here's a dollar. I'll buy it for you. You don't have to say, wait, let me take out my credit card and wait till I'm in line. Right? Just for example. And you could always have money for a small emergency fund. Like when my wife was driving our daughter back to school, I had kept all my change that didn't fall out of my pocket in my car. I keep it in the coin tray. And I had it loaded. I was like, I'm so happy and proud of myself, right? I got this thing loaded. And then my wife texted me, hey, thanks for all the change. I needed it. I was like, I should have took it out. I forgot. No, but she's going through the tolls. And what if they don't take credit cards?
She didn't.
Then you're stuck. Then you get a big bill, right? It's like a fine. So it prevented, that little ripple effect of having some change prevented a big problem later on. And it proved to be a bigger blessing, right? But let's say you don't make that little change. You need gas for your car, but their credit card machine is broken. They're not taking cash. Or I've seen this, no purchases under $25. Ever see that? No transactions under $25? You go, I don't want to buy $25. I just want $15. Nope, sorry, we don't want the fees. And you limit your ability to be a bigger blessing to someone else, even in a small way. So when we look at a ripple effect, it's something that starts really small that can make a big difference in your life. I have a friend, he says, I want to go to the gym and I want to lose weight. I need to lose 20 pounds. I said, well, just start with 2 pounds. You don't understand, man. I got to lose 20. I said, but before you can lose 20, what do you got to do? Lose 2. So work on the 2 first. Yep. That's all you got to do. Just work on the 2. Yeah. That'll create what? A ripple effect to something bigger. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's like anything. So the point here is that if we want to make a change, we can't forget to start with something small. Mm-hmm. Right? And I don't want us, if we put it to a spiritual level, we could say praying in the morning can cause a peaceful ripple effect for the entire day.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking about the song. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. He is enough for me.
Yeah.
Right? If you remember that through the day when something happens to you or to your stuff or causes you a problem, and you remember, don't forget, Jesus is enough for me, then I don't have to get stressed out over this thing here.
Right.
I may have to deal with it, but I don't have to stress over it, right? Mm-hmm. And part of that is, remember, I pray in the morning, then that can cause a peaceful ripple effect throughout my day. If I get up and I say, I got no time. Well, then I'm already kind of starting that ripple effect that's going to be kind of anxious or volatile, crazy type of day, right? Here's one. Reading my Bible daily helped me resolve a problem at work due to the wisdom that God provided in His Word. As a result, things went much better for me. How many of you prayed, or you did pray, or maybe you should have prayed, or you did pray, and the Lord told you, gave you an idea, don't do this?
Yeah.
And you said,
yeah.
Okay, I won't. Or that might be just me. And then you did the thing that you knew you shouldn't have done, and it didn't turn out so good. And you said, oh, I knew I shouldn't have done that. Well, what happened? That little thing turned into something big. That little direction He was trying to give you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
One time, if I get hurt, my wife usually laughs at me in a nice way. But one time I was lifting something. I was lifting my mother's cookbooks. Now, this is a chore. This is like, you know, we're talking, I'm not exaggerating, thousands of cookbooks. Couple thousand. And, you know, they're not the little magazine cookbooks. These are the Betty Crocker 1960s, you know, hardback type thing. And there's case after case of them. And one time I lifted it and I thought, man, I just hurt myself. But before I lifted that, before I was doing it, I had this idea, hey, just give it a break. That's enough for today. Yeah. And then I said, no, it's not. to myself. I got to finish this.
Yeah.
I'm pushing through. I'm not lazy. I'm pushing through, right? And I pushed through, and I got the pain of pushing through. I think I pulled something. Something's hurting.
Yeah.
And what it actually was, it was a hip flexor muscle.
What is that?
It actually runs along your hip, down the side of your leg. I mean, it was painful. And it was funny because I couldn't straighten it out. And my wife said, get up, come on. I go, I can't. It's going to take me a couple minutes. I got to straighten my leg. I don't know what's going on, right? So I had to take some time. I didn't realize those things are that painful. Mm-hmm. But I had to take some time to work it out. Mm-hmm. And And in doing so, I realized, wait, why did this happen? Because the Lord was, I mean, if I start replaying things in my mind, I think he told me, even though I thought it was me, he told me, don't do that.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah.
And then I said, not so, Lord. Right? I'm going to do it my way.
Yeah.
I appreciate the advice, but you don't understand. I don't want to come back here. There's a lot of books.
Yeah.
You know, you've all done that. We've all done that. So it wasn't his fault. It was what? My fault.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to repent and pray for healing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know what's funny? When you're hurting, the enemy tries to convince you that's forever and permanent.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, like, you're hurting. This is forever.
No.
I mean, it isn't, but he'll tell you it is.
Yeah. Right.
And you can't yield to him. Mm-hmm. You have to start, you know, believing God, seeing yourself well, you know, staying in the Word. But if I would have just listened to him in that little thing, I would have avoided a lot of pain.
Yep.
Right? Or how about this? Third thing about creating a ripple effect is if we're being angry and unforgiving, we could choose to forgive and love others, and as a result, we could experience greater health,
mm-hmm.
right? A more positive and productive outlook on life.
Yes.
If I let things go. Especially if it wasn't something that was your fault.
Yep.
Somebody else did something to you, and you think, well, I could forgive. It's just a little thing, but I'm going to hold on to it. Because it makes me feel better. You know how your flesh kind of justifies everything? You actually could feel good by holding a grudge against people? I mean, in one sense, if you ask your flesh, it feels good to be angry with someone. Because, yeah, they deserve it, right? Your flesh is just like that. And that's why that's creating a very bad ripple effect that could come up to tsunami levels if you don't deal with it.
Yeah.
It'll impact you in other areas of your life. And you may seem, the enemy says, it's just a small thing. Yeah, but it's creating some bigger waves.
Mm.
You know, as it spreads out and the time goes by, those waves are getting larger.
Yeah.
You remember some years back when that tsunami hit Indonesia?
Yeah.
And people are on the beach watching it come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, run for the hills, man. What are you doing?
What are you doing? Still?
Yeah.
But that didn't start there. That was a result of miles and miles and time and distance accumulating that created this storm in the lives of so many people. And there was a man who, it was an interesting story, he and his family, his wife, his family, his kids, they were going to go on vacation. And they had everything booked, and that's where they were going. And the day before they left, he told his wife, hey, you know what? I don't think we should go.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife said, quit being lazy. We're going. We're going. He says, no, I really think God's, and she was not happy.
Yeah.
She said, we've been planning this. We spent the money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said, but I really don't feel good about this. And he didn't go.
Wow.
And then now he looks like the spiritual giant in the family. Like, look at me. When I talk, you better listen, right? But they avoided something big.
Yes.
Could have killed them.
Yes.
And destroyed their family.
Yes.
Why? Because obeying God in a small thing will turn into something bigger for you.
That's good.
Amen?
That's good.
So we want to create a ripple effect in our life that's long-lasting, that'll make changes that, for us and in us and through us, that'll be a blessing and a benefit to others. So Philippians 3, verses 12 to 14. So the title again is Don't Forget to Forget. Look at your neighbor and say, don't forget.
Don't
forget.
To forget.
All right, it says this, Philippians 3, 12 to 14 says, Paul speaking, he said, I haven't already obtained everything or have been already perfected. So he said, I don't know everything. I'm not perfect. But I pursue, if also I may lay hold of that which is laid hold of me by the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I don't reckon myself to lay hold yet. One thing I do.
Yeah.
The things, indeed, one thing I forget, those things behind me. Mm. And I stretch toward the goal. I press forward. Mm. So Paul said, this one thing is what I'm doing. I'm going to forget those things behind me. Mm-hmm. Why? Because if you don't forget that, you're still, quote, living in the past. Remember there's a movie some time ago was... It was called Napoleon Dynamite. I don't know if you guys ever saw that movie. But you had this guy who lived in the past when he was a quarterback in high school.
Yeah.
He couldn't get past his past. Mm-hmm. And he's still like, if that guy would have just caught the ball, I would have been a state champion or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you got to put that past, you got to forget it, the good and the bad. Paul said, I forget those things behind me, mm-hmm. which includes yesterday. Right? And I press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So there are times when even maybe your past could have been painful and real. And you look at Paul, his past was very real.
Yeah.
He says, I press forward to the mark of the prize of serving Christ Jesus. But this is the Paul who went around for a living killing the Christians. Do you think he had to forget the screams?
Yes.
And the families he destroyed?
Yeah.
And his past?
Yeah.
He did. He had to forget. You know, it would be kind of hard if I came into your home, grabbed your kids, put you in jail, and sometime later said, hey, everything's cool, buddy. You'd be like, no, it is not cool. You destroyed our family. And then Paul says, but I did it ignorantly.
Yeah.
He put in his past, he forgave himself because of Jesus. He forgot. He said, I got to forget the things in the past. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
We have, and just like Paul, we have to forget what's in our past so we can focus on what? The future.
Yeah.
You got to focus on the future. You can't stay fixed in the past. You got to fix your mind on Him and focus on what? The future. So we must not only forget the past and focus on the future, but we have to continually fix our eyes on the one who's supposed to be the finisher of our faith, yeah. which is Jesus.
Amen.
Look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. And we can start with verse 1. So all the big words today is going to start with F,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we got to forget the past. And Hebrews 12, it says, verse 1, we have a great cloud of witnesses set around us. Let us lay aside every weight. Let's put it off that besets us or that hinders us. Through endurance that we may run the contest that is set before us, focusing or looking. And when you see the word look, another example is just to focus. And when the Bible says look on Him, it means to have a constant stare. Just like when Peter was walking on the water, Jesus said, come on. And as long as he was focused on Jesus, what was happening? His circumstances didn't have an impact on the miracle that God was doing in his life. But when he took his eyes off of the Lord, when his focus got on the natural things, he started to what? Sink. So here it says, focus on Him, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Jesus who despised the shame for the joy that was before Him, He endured the cross, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such it says gainsaying, but Jesus was ridiculed by the sinners, by those who didn't believe. And he said, you consider Him so that you don't what? Faint. You want to focus on Him so you don't faint. And you want to focus on Him because you're forgetting your past. You're fixing your eyes on Him so you can finish your race. So you can accomplish everything that He called you to do. Psalms 112, verse 7 says it this way. You will not be afraid of evil tidings or bad news because your heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. When you get your eyes fixed on Him, you won't be fixed on the problems that are going on in the world. I mean, I was thinking about this. You think about this. Someone said, well, I had made some mistakes in my past, and people helped me make those mistakes. That's understandable. That's all good. I understand. But if we fix our eyes on Him, you know, I was thinking, I'll tell you a story. My daughters, they wanted like a Barbie something or another recently. Man, and I told them, okay, well, let's pray and believe God. And when I said, let's pray and believe God, these girls, man, their faces went in the carpet, butts were up in there, they're praying. And I said, well, this is what the word said. Okay, we got it. Because I had to send an email to somebody and say, okay, we want to buy this Barbie doll thing. And they're like, yeah. And like every 5 minutes, did they call back yet? Did they respond? Did they respond? I mean, every 5 minutes? I said, no, not yet. Just give them some time. I'm believing God. I know you are. Now I got to believe God because you're believing God. But I got to believe God that you leave me alone long enough so I can. But every few minutes. And they said, finally, the next day, they got an email. I said, okay, that would be fine. You can come Saturday. Well, that was like 3 days later. So it was like, how many days left? 3 days, Dad. 3 days. And you think it's going to happen? I said, well, we prayed. Yeah, it's going to happen. They're focused, man. These guys are fixed on this. Saturday rolls around. What time is it? What time did they say? 8 hours. Okay. How much time, Dad? 7.5 hours. 7 hours. 6.5 hours. 6 hours. I mean, it just, the whole day. But we got there, and they got their toys, and they were thankful they got their toys, they were excited. And I thought about this for me, I'm not looking at it for them, thinking, man, if I can get my faith to that level, the expectancy for God to move in your life, this is huge. Why would I not be, if I'm believing God for something, why is it, God, oh man, it's going to happen by midnight tonight. That's 10 hours, 12 hours. Oh, I'm excited. Okay, it didn't happen at midnight, but 1 a.m. I can hardly sleep. There's a phone call, you know, one of those robocalls. That could be from heaven. I'm going to answer it because I don't know for sure, right? You understand that expectancy comes up because the faith is real. You're fixed. You're not wavering on something else. You're believing God for something that seems impossible to man. That's okay, because you're not looking to man, you're looking to Him. Amen. And the girls don't know where we're going to get the money for the Barbie stuff. I didn't tell them I have to borrow it from them. Girls, what do you want to spend? Whatever you think, Dad. Okay. The point being is, you keep your faith, it's excited, it's expecting, because you're focused on Him. Here, He said, I won't be afraid of bad news because my heart is fixed like cement. When cement dries, you know, where I grew up, if you found wet cement, that's a place to write your name. You understand? Like, if I can get my name, I get all over the town in wet cement. You weren't afraid of wet cement. You encouraged, you were glad to see it. Amen? So, God wants us to have a heart that is focused and fixed on Him.
Yes.
Focused and fixed.
Yes.
Romans 4:19-25 says it this way, in the Message version. It says, Abraham didn't focus on his own inability or his hopeless situation. He focused on the Word of God. He focused his attention on the Word. Think about this. If you remain focused on the Word, you know, I'm thinking, like, sometimes we look at what we don't have. Mm-hmm. But if we look at what we do have,
yeah.
You know, like, I was thinking, and I'm not taking credit for it, because I didn't really do a lot about that. But if you look at your kids, you think, well, they're not perfect, but praise God, look what they are.
Yes, yes.
And He's sustaining them, and He's protecting them, and mm-hmm. He's keeping them, and He will do it.
Yes,
I'll just keep believing Him to do that.
Yes.
And I may not be exactly where I want to be, but that doesn't mean I can't get there. Mm-hmm. I can believe God for more. I can believe God for increase. Mm-hmm. But to do that, I have to forget the past.
Yes. Yeah.
Paul did. You got to put that behind you and focus on Him, focus on finishing the race that He's called you to do. Remember, He is the author and the finisher of your faith.
Amen.
So if you give up in the middle, how can you finish?
Right.
If you give up on the one who's the finisher.
Yeah.
You can't take your car out of the car wash before it's clean.
Yeah.
You don't ever do that? Stop midway and roll the window down while everything's good. That's a bad move. Don't do that. You know, as kids, you do dumb things, right?
Yeah.
What if this pressure washer would go through a crack in the window? You know, just crack it down a little bit.
Oh, no.
Don't do that stuff. I've done stuff like that. But Abraham didn't focus. His body was dead, but he didn't focus on that. He focused on the faithful one. He focused on the one who was the finisher of his faith.
Yeah.
And if you go, if you're running a marathon and you quit any time before the finish line, you don't finish.
Mm.
You have to stay finished. To finish, you have to stay focused and fixed on the end.
Yeah.
On the future, not in the past. Amen?
Amen.
So He wants us to stay focused on Him. Now, Numbers 21 gives us a very interesting example of this. And, of course, it has to do with the children of Israel. We can learn a lot. We can learn some things here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are we supposed to forget the past? Yes. And focus and fix our eyes on what? On Him.
Yes.
Numbers 21 is the children of Israel, they're complaining and murmuring. And the Bible says that God... Now, you have to understand this. This will help you. When it says that God sent a plague, or God did this, when you look up the word sent, or God allowed this, like when, you know, Job came, and Satan came to tempt Job, and said God allowed it. But God, He didn't, I mean, it didn't say God caused it. You have to understand God allowed it because He didn't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So when it says He sent the plague, means the judgment was coming. He couldn't do anything to stop it because the people wouldn't believe Him.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't repent. And He would say, stop murmuring, don't do this, because bad things are on the way, because you have an enemy out there who's a destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, it's just like if it's raining, or the pressure wash, car wash thing, I can't roll down my window in a car wash and go, God, you didn't keep my car dry. Because I'm the one that opened the door, or opened the window.
Yeah.
And God allowed the water to come in. Because it was me. So here He's telling them, quit murmuring, quit complaining, and they wouldn't do it. And so it says that fiery serpents came in, or poisonous snakes, and it started biting the people. Now, I got this little revelation here. I'll tell you when I get there. So, it says this, that Moses took a cast out of bronze, a snake,
mm-hmm.
on a pole. I thought, man, they got some metal workers going here. Mm-hmm. They had made a mold.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, hey, this is, how did they do this? So it wasn't, quote, instant. And this camp is full of snakes, and he gets it made, cooled off and dried, and he sets it up, and he says, look here. Fix your eyes on the pole. And as many of you gaze upon this, but it's not just a quick glance. It means for those of you who fix your eyes on this pole, with a serpent on it, you will live. Now you think about this, there's people screaming all around you, people dying, maybe a snake bit you and you feel the poison going in you, but you got to keep your eyes on the pole.
Mm.
You got to be focused here. You got to be fixed on Him. And I thought about this for a moment, like, you know, it's just like the devil, because in the garden, he was a serpent. And whenever a serpent, or you could say sin, or the enemy tries to bite at you to kill, steal, and destroy in your life, when the serpent comes, you need to keep your eyes, what, fixed,
yes,
and focused on the one who's the finisher of your faith.
Amen.
Which is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You forget the past, forget, well, back then when I was a kid, I failed. Don't worry about that. Focus on Him.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your eyes fixed on what He said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You got to keep your eyes fixed. So I said, when they kept their eyes focused on that pole, when you keep your eyes focused on the Word of God, then you will be healed. Mm-hmm. You will be restored. Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes fixed on Him and what He said. Mm-hmm. This is the challenge. Because, you know, people know, because, you know, I said, if you come to me, you hear my word. Or you ever hear someone say, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, brother, sister? But that's not the whole verse. It says, if you continue in my word, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free.
That's good.
Because you know a lot of people know the truth.
Yeah.
But they're not free.
Right.
Right?
Yes. Right.
It's like, you can know something's true, but you don't act on it, or you stop acting on it, it's not going to help you. Right?
Mm.
So we continue in His Word. If we keep our eyes fixed on Him.
Yes.
And don't look at, hey, I got to, well, this is a big problem, I can do this one on my own. No, keep your eyes fixed on Him. Mm-hmm. Keep doing what He told you to do. Just stay focused. And it may seem like a small thing, but it's not. Because it will create what? The ripple effect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you forget the past, and when the enemy tries to bring it back, no, I ain't going to go there. I'm not going to go there. You know, I was talking with someone. He wanted to... And he said, it's been 3 days. So keep going. Don't hang around anybody who's smoking, number one. But just don't think about how much it used to bother you. Just keep thanking God you're free.
Amen.
This person was recently saved, not that long ago. And I would say they're not even, you know, they don't even go to church regularly.
Mm-hmm.
But they understood one thing. If I can just keep thanking God for this, I can get free.
Mm-hmm.
And then I happened to see him, and he said to me, yeah, it's been 4 months. 4 months. No, just like kind of like cold turkey. 4 months. I said, okay, now quit talking about it and just go on. Because you don't want, well, it's been 4 months and 1 day, 4 months and 2 days. Now you're free.
Yeah.
Just stay free.
Yeah.
But he fixed his eye in that area on the Lord.
Amen.
And he got what? Free.
Amen.
He got it finished, the off and finish of his faith. It came to pass. Well, you keep focused on what the Lord told you to do and what you're believing for, it will what? Come to pass. You don't have to be a spiritual giant. You just have to stay focused on what He said. Amen? He's the finisher, not you. You're the focuser. It's like, yes. You're the fixer. I don't mean that in a mob term. You know, he's a fixer, right? He's going to fix everything. Not like that. But you fix your eyes on Him. You keep your eyes on Him. You forget the past, and then that way you can finish. You keep going forward, and you finish your course. Why? Because He's the faithful one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You keep your eyes on the author. He helped you get started. And the finisher. How do we do that? One big way, we forget the past.
Amen.
Don't forget to forget.
Yeah.
The past is behind you.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
And you're striving every day. You're looking ahead onto Him.
Yes.
He'll get you there. He'll get you to the finish line.
Yes.
Yeah? Don't look around what other people are doing. You just got to stay focused on the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to keep my eyes on Him. Stay focused on Him. Don't get your eyes off of Him. Children of Israel, when they kept their eyes focused on the snake on the pole,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a symbol of the enemy being defeated.
Yeah.
When you remember he's a defeated enemy, a defeated foe, you stay focused on that. Then you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to keep my eyes. I'm going to be faithful to finish. Because I'm staying focused on you. I'm forgetting my past. Amen? My future is bright.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, stay focused.
Stay focused.
Stay focused.
Stay focused.
Don't forget to forget.
Don't forget to forget.
Forget your past.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Keep moving forward.
Keep
moving. Do that.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
So we fix our eyes, we focus our attention on the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
And that's none other than Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm excited because I think as a church, as you begin to focus on Him, and I focus on him. We together focus on him. We'll see him do great things in our midst and in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about, remember the food truck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we said we want to be a bigger blessing, and as a church, we sold money into the food truck, and the first time it went out, and then when there was a storm overseas, 30,000 meals. And how many lives were saved because of that? And how much of a great witness Jesus received because of that?
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful truck, man. I mean, it's a beautiful truck. I think, God, look what you did. Why? Because our eyes are on him.
Yeah.
And our eyes on, hey, let's love one another. Let's pray for what? One another.
Yeah.
Don't look at this simple as being, you know, unspiritual.
Yeah.
Sometimes the simple things are very, very spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
Don't overlook it. Don't look at it. Don't take things lightly. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. Jesus told people to do things like, go fill this bucket up with water. Why water? Why do I have to use water? Nobody wants to drink water. That's a lot of work, filling this up with water.
Mm-hmm.
You remember this, turn the water into wine?
Yes.
They said, okay. And his mother said, whatever he said, just do it.
Yeah.
And they didn't have the faucet from the kitchen. You understand. All right, man, these are 30-gallon whatever pots. Here we go. You got to go to the well. Pull up a gallon at a time. Pour it in. Then carry that big thing back. It's a lot of work. Why don't we just use water? Why can't he just put it into wine to begin with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes the simplest things is what leads to miracles and answers in your life. Amen?
Amen?
So we need to be faithful to do what he told us to do.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Forget the past. Let's pray. Father,
Thank you. I
just want you just to spend a minute praying about forgetting the past. Because sometimes, I know the enemy is always trying to bring up our past, and it robs you of your future, tries to rob you of faith, and to bring you under condemnation or guilt. But let's just take a moment. I'll just say a general prayer. You say a specific prayer for what you might be dealing with about your past or something that, you know, you have trouble getting over in your life. Let's just give it over to him. Let's not go there anymore. Let's not forget to forget our past. Let's forget it. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And we thank you for being good and for being the author. That Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
And Lord, we recognize that sometimes the enemy is always bringing up our past with the failures and the faults and the things that didn't go quite right. And tries to bring the fears of the past into this present life or even into the future, the fear of the unknown, whatever it is, because of the failures in the past. But Lord, we see in your word that, as Paul commended, that we are to forget those things that are in the past because they have been redeemed.
Amen.
And because of Jesus, we are forgiven and we are free, so we can live a life of faith. That what we lost in the past can be reclaimed. It can be brought back. We don't have to just suffer the rest of our life and feel bad for a decision that we made.
Right.
That we might not have known all the information or things just didn't turn out right. Lord, no, we thank you that our past is forgiven.
Amen.
And we are redeemed.
Yes.
That we don't have to pay for the past any longer because of Jesus.
Yes.
So Lord, when those things come up, we purpose right now to forget the past.
Amen.
I'm putting those things in the past behind me. I'm forgetting it. Just as Paul forgot his past. Forgetting it. Present tense, whenever it comes up, I'm forgetting it. Because I have to strive for what Christ has laid ahead of me, the future. And that by faith I will finish my race. I will finish my whole course. We will all finish what the Lord's called us to do. We will finish our race. We will complete everything that he called us to do. And when we stand before him, we will hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We were faithful because we focused, Lord. Help us to focus and fix our eyes only on you. Not on men, not on the world system, or money, or possession, but only on you. And Lord, we receive once again forgiveness and cleansing for anything that might have been in the past. We plead the blood of Jesus over it, and we focus our eyes on you by faith. Lord, we focus on our future. We fix our eyes on you, the one who can do all things, the one with whom nothing is impossible. We thank you that you are the faithful one and the finisher of our faith. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, it's interesting. You don't have to deny something like I never did. That's not the point. You know this, and I know this. So many times people just live in the past. You don't understand what happened. This hurt me. This hurt me. This hurt me. And you know, I had hurt my hip flexor, but that was a long time ago. Not a long time ago, but some time ago. Or if you had a cut and you're still bleeding and it's been 3 years, you think, what is wrong with me? Right? Put a band-aid on it and leave it on. The temptation, though, is what? To always peel it off. Because you want to see the blood. I mean, as a kid, you know. Don't let it heal up. Let it go. Put God's anointing and his peace in there, and his joy. The balm of Gilead, right? Heal up, and then don't go back there anymore. Go forward. Yeah, that happened, but I'm redeemed from that. That's in the past. I forgot about that. I forgot. And I told you the story. The guy was telling me, you know, something that happened to him, and it sounded like it was just like last week. I said, when did this happen? You're doing pretty good. He's like, 9 years ago. I was like, whoa. And I realized, man, you got to keep that band-aid. I got to keep that band-aid on till it heals. Forget it, right? Move forward in Christ.
I have to say something real quick. I felt like, as we were praying, I felt like the enemy was coming and speaking, you know, just coming at you, hammering and putting condemnation and guilt it's just like the voice of the enemy just coming and coming and coming. And what I felt in my heart was that we needed to tell the enemy to just shut up, really. So just do this with me right now in Jesus' name and say, devil, you are a defeated foe. I put you under my feet where you belong. And I say, Jesus' name, I'm victorious in him. I bind your activity
against me.
And I see you right now.
In
Jesus' name.
Jesus.
You're a liar.
You're a liar.
You're a liar.
Everything you say is a lie.
And I don't believe one ounce of it. One word I won't believe. I trust in him.
In Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
So when the voice of the enemy comes, just don't allow him to keep talking. Don't allow him to keep, you know, and don't say nothing. You need to come against him and you need to tell him to be quiet. You need to tell him to shut up. Amen? Don't let him keep talking because everything he says is a lie. There's no truth in him. And so when he comes and he brings condemnations and brings up your past, tell him it's under the blood. Tell him that he you won't believe it, you're not going to listen to it, and you start to declare who you are in Christ. Amen. Will you do that this week, family? Will you do that when the enemy comes and starts speaking lies? Will you not just listen, but rather speak the truth? Okay.